Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Drift.
How was that?
Gary, you've never looked so attractive. And
well, thank you.
The hormones are working.
Thank you. I'm in the middle of my my surgery. Dan will be pleased.
You're transitioning.
Making the transition. Welcome, everyone. You are listening. Eric's cracking up. You're listening to The Drift. It's going to be hard for me to not say the American Dream, but I'm going to try to remember The Drift. The Drift. We've drifted over into The Drift. That's right. It's me, your host, Linda Hughes, here with the co-host of The Drift, Brandon Drake.
Just think of us as Radio Free Ann Arbor.
Exactly. And of course, across the hallway there, Derek Stone producing his little heart out.
Thank you.
When he's not tweeting.
Thank you. Yes, right. When he's not tweeting his little heart out, right? So here we are. Here we are. It's time for The Drift. Now, this is your show, so I'll let you take it away in a second.
No. This is your show.
Yes. Gary's somewhere other than here.
I'm just the co-host.
We'll just say other than here.
I'm a co-host with a voice. That's it.
He's somewhere even sunnier than here. You picked a bad weekend to be gone, Gary, because it's beautiful here.
Did he go out of 75? He never told me what he was doing. He just said he wasn't going to be here.
Yeah. I know he's listening, so we better be nice. Okay, so before we get into the meat of the matter, the heart of the show, the facts, let's talk about our sponsor for this show, J&M Landscaping, LLC, 248-640-7029. They do it all. And
like
I mean
father
everything.
And son. We do it all.
Nope, they get it done.
Do you remember that jingle?
I do.
That was a great
jingle.
Add that
to Drake's Greatest Hits CD that we're going to put on sale soon, because I think we've got about 20 of your greatest hits.
So you're making fun of me again. See?
No, that's a compliment.
It is.
You've got a great voice. You have a great singing voice, and we're putting... Hey, Matt Clark has a CD out, so we can put a Drake CD out, too. So if Derek starts singing, we'll get a Derek CD, a Stone Cold Sports Truth music for the ages. Okay, so these guys have 25 years of experience in residential and commercial landscaping. Looks like here they've got tree services. They can come out and do your tree trimming and pruning, ornamental pruning, mowing, hedging, planting, weeding, yard cleanup, sod or seeding, ground maintenance. Wow. They have sprinkler systems as well, free estimates, and reasonable rates. So that's pretty cool. They've got some waterfalls, sod installation, brick pit. Is there anything these guys don't do here at J&M Landscaping, the sponsors of The Drift? I don't think so. So again, 248-640-7029, and they are out of Whitmore Lake. You can probably go to their website, too, which is one of those... looks like one of those strange ones with the underscore stuff, so I won't give you that one. So just give them a call, 248-640-7029, and we thank them for sponsoring this show, because without sponsors, none of these shows exist.
Yeah, Google them,
so,
which has become an adjective?
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, it's when it's actually a noun.
Yep.
Google, the name of a company.
Exactly. Go to the Wham website and check out all of our sponsors, because we need them to keep going. All right, so this is an interesting episode of The Drift today, because we're talking a little bit politics, but we're going to flip over into culture real quick. But we're gonna touch on a few things. We talked in the American Dream earlier today about Jeb being our candidate who hasn't even announced yet, and already he's sucked up everybody's money. So, I don't know about you, but I'm not looking forward to any of the debates. I'm sick of it already. It seems like we just ended all that from the last time around. So, people are talking about, when do the debates start? How many debates are we going to have? Who's going to be the moderator? Because oftentimes the moderator can make or break your candidate's side, if you will. So, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to any of it. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it.
I don't know if it's true, but I heard that they're not going to make the same mistake as they did last time around by having all of those candidates up on the stage at once.
Oh, good.
Are they going to try to whittle it down to just, maybe three or four instead of what was it? It seemed like 10 or 12. I can't believe it'd be that many, but...
I think there were eight at one point.
It was just too many people. It was almost like watching, an episode of... Maury Povich, and who's the daddy babe or the baby daddy or whenever they all start talking. And it's like after a point you just drown it out,
sick of it.
Flip the channel.
And they all, you know, everybody going after each other. And then by that time, we do all the work for the Democrat candidate, right? They don't have to do anything because all the dirty laundry's out in the open with.
It was more of a circus than, and you know, I don't think they obviously meant it to be that way. And if you really watched it, it wasn't a circus, but on a superficial level, which is what most people are going to view it as, that's their perception. Right. It was kind of a weird circus event. It was every week.
Yeah, it was all the time, constantly. The things that stick out in my mind from the debates, Newt Gingrich obviously was the best as far as jabbing at the media and making the great statements. I remember Rick Santorum always on the end, always snarly with that face, you know, like he was a little kid throwing a tantrum, which drove me nuts. And I remember Mitt Romney actually was the only one who turned to the other candidates when they were speaking. I thought that was very polite, and it really did make an impression on me. I can't come up with anything that he said. I'm sure it was all wonderful because I liked him at the time, but he was the most polite in that he would actually, at least in appearance, he looked as though he was actually taking in what they were saying rather than the rest of them kind of shuffling their little papers, getting ready for their answer. He was actually, you know, listening to what they said. So
I know a lot of people didn't like Romney because of his religion and or his, you know, not being conservative enough. But whenever I would see him, and this is just me, and this is very superficial, he just looked to me like he was more of a TV president or senator on a soap or a sitcom or a TV late night drama than actually being presidential.
He did have the look. Yeah,
he had the look. He's got, but he just kind of had this flat Tony, and I know that that's not everything because George Bush was a horrible speaker for the most part, but he just didn't have the charisma that I think is needed to, and you know, there's a lot of other things you had ducks in a row you have to have, but to me, he just didn't have that fire that was going to overtake the Obama entrenchment, and it turned out to be true.
But George had the strategery.
I mean, when George Bush, and I've said this many times, when he seemed like when he was trying not to be presidential and he just kind of be himself and let it fly, then he was a lot more, at times, more coherent. But when he tried to overthink it and tried to speak in a certain manner, it just did not come across well at all. And that's when it seems like most of the time people made fun of him.
Yeah, I actually liked him. I appreciated
that. Me too. I like George Bush.
Yeah, I appreciated that, you know, man of the people, so to speak. He wasn't polished, unlike our current man in the White House. So, I don't know. Do we want to talk about Hillary? I know your feelings on her. The Scooby van. My thoughts on that was, why didn't you get a pink van and call it the Barbie Mobile
and sell some Mary Kay along the way,
whatever you got to do. That way no one could come after her for it, because it would be the war on women, which is you know what she's trying to push.
Or if you wanted to make it more realistic, probably with her background in the 60s, make it the Wavy Gravy van.
There you go. And that would kind of go with her foggy memory of things, you know, with her concussion and all. Wavy Gravy.
Timothy Leary could be the driver. Is that clown still alive?
You know, he is. There's a new series coming up. We're going to get into TV in a bit because we're going to spend quite a bit of time on culture and stuff like that later on in the show. But he has a new series coming up that actually looks pretty funny.
Timothy Leary?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the same guy? I don't think so.
Let me see. Are we talking about the same guy? Who am I thinking of?
This is the Harvard professor advocating dropping LSD and telling everyone to tune out, drop out. A total
Who's the other Leary?
Scourge to you know, our young people.
Who's the funny Leary?
Dennis?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah,
Thank
Dennis you, Leary. He's
Dennis
funny.
Leary has a new show coming up.
Okay,
it's going
like
to be hysterical. It's about an old rock and roller. It really does look like one that you can get excited about watching.
This is like when you confuse Brigitte Gabrielle with Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, did I do that?
Maybe I did. I
think
don't know.
You did. Yeah, you did. Because, I'm pretty good with her. Because
I think I did it first, and then you subsequently did it.
Did I do it? It's hard not to do. Yeah. But very different, two very different people, one with a message and one with a problem. But, okay, so the pink Barbie Mobile, you know, that would have answered the problem with the Scooby. Because, you know, she's getting flown to all these places, right? She's flying to these towns and then, you know, and somebody else is driving the
poor
mobile.
Poor schmuck is driving this right. piece of crap.
And she's got to go into Chipotle and get her burrito bowl, which were pretty good. We had those yesterday. They were pretty outstanding, weren't they, Derek?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
See, you're always getting food when I'm not here.
We followed suit. I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
You do Friday. That on purpose. I know you do that to torment me.
We do it sometimes through the week, too. But yeah, Friday's usually everybody's so, we just do something like that. But anyway, and you know she's going someplace else. She's not eating at these places. She's not going to the, she doesn't do her laundry.
Does she jog into Chipotle like Bill used to do, jogging into McDonald's?
You know, he was probably sincere because he was actually breaking away from his diet police, probably with all of his health issues, going out to get his fries and
he's
stuff.
He's a strict vegetarian now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of all the heart problems he's had.
Oh, probably is now. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's in that great of health.
Yeah, he looks like a skinny, frail old man now.
Yeah. Ugh. Please, dear God, don't let them be back in the White House. I don't think I can take 8 years of the two of them in the White House. And believe it or not, I like them better than the choice that we have now. So thanks, all you people who wouldn't vote for Romney because of his Mormonism. Now we have Marxism is worse than Mormonism, right? Okay, so Scott Walker, we haven't heard anything from him. We don't know for sure if he's going to announce, although I'm getting more emails from him, so that could be it. Rubio announced, I'm sorry, I can't get past the Rubio looking like a kid. Rubio looks like one of the kids on My Three Sons. Remember that show?
Yeah.
You know, with the hands opening out here. I don't know. He's got to do something about the dry mouth thing because he still does the whole, you know, the water thing that he did. He still is always, like, working on his mouth, which I feel bad for, but he's got to get some biotin or what's the stuff that, like, helps your mouth create its own moisture. He's constantly clearing
his... Yeah, that's what it is, that, biotin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for him. I'm for anybody, you know, at this point, but...
Would you vote for me?
I would. That's how desperate I have become. I would vote for you for president. You'd make a great president. I tried to get Theron to run, but he thinks he's got too much of a past. But
I'd either solve all the world's problems or end it.
Or end the world.
Who knows how the consequences would unintended consequences of possibly ending it. But I would make some decisive moves.
That's exactly what you know. You and Theron should run together. That'd be great. You wouldn't be elected again. You'd be one termers, but you would definitely solve some problems.
Yeah, but our term would last about 30 years.
That's true. You could change it once you got in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Scott Walker, I'm still a fan. We got to hear from him some more. I don't know. I just, it's going to come down to the Clinton-Bush thing, and then we're all going to be right where we are right now,
Ted Cruz is still your boy, right?
He is. Yep. Oh, yeah, I didn't even mention him. Yeah, he's our guy. And of course, people say he's unelectable, but I don't get that. He's unelectable. He's electable if you elect him. How is that? You know, that's just kind of the Bush people coming out with their stuff. It's insane. It's almost, of course, he's electable.
Now, you know, I don't have the exact details in front of me right now, but I read a little bit about Ted Cruz, and, you know, he's got a Cuban ancestry.
Right.
And I believe that in the late 50s, his parents supported, or at least his dad supported, Fidel Castro. So obviously that wouldn't be the case now. Oh, yeah. And I don't remember the exact details of it, but at first they did.
Okay.
Or at least his dad did.
I know that somebody kind of snuck over here. He tells the story of, you know, his family coming here, and I don't know the details either, but you know, he's got a perfect story. I mean, and Rubio too. I mean, Rubio of course has his ancestry from Cuba. So both of them, our first two they should run together. Cruz Rubio, right? Wouldn't that be great?
And they could have that
two Cubans.
Two Cubans walk into a bar.
Sounds like the joke setup.
And they could have as their, you know, theme music from the band in the 80s from Cuba. What was that female singer? She was real huge there for a while.
Sheila E.?
No.
Gloria Estefan?
Yes.
Estefan. I could never get her name right. Estefan. Yeah, she's great. She really is a good singer. But yeah, I mean, why not just come right out? That's perfect, right? We should get the Hispanic vote, right? With two Cubans?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, how
do Mexicans hate Cubans?
How could they not like these two people?
If Mexicans hate Cubans, they wouldn't vote for them.
They've got a great story. I don't think they do.
They might.
I mean, they came here.
Mexicans might hate Cubans because here's what a Mexican might think. Hey, you let all the Cubans in if they can get here. which is still, I believe, American policy. Right. If you get on a boat and you come across those dangerous straits, you're automatically granted whatever. You're allowed to stay. But if you're a Mexican coming across, then, well, in theory, you're not supposed to be here.
They're all here.
But we know that that's not enforced.
I mean, but there's no border. That's just a joke. That's a bad joke. That's been a joke for years.
But the Mexicans might think, hey, why are you favoring the Cubans and not giving us the same?
Yeah.
You know. But we know it's all in a Cold War context, which unfortunately most of our young people have no clue about anymore.
No clue. So I don't know. Marco would be good for the youngins because he's what, 20? He seems 20. He's like 35, 40. Is he mid 40? Is he in his mid-40s? We don't know. But I like him. I mean, he's a good speaker, too. And he might bring in some of these, the millennials that...
He's a little bit for the open borders, though, isn't he? Because of, his fellow Hispanics. And then he changed his tune on it once he realized he was going to run for president.
But you know what doesn't bother me about him changing his tune? He's come out a couple times on a couple different subjects and said he's changing his feelings on this. At least he's not trying to act like he's always... You know, if he changes his viewpoints on something, he'll come right out and say, he's changed and here's why, which is better than some of the other ones who try to pretend like, no, I always felt this way. I did. And then you play the clip. It's like, well, you took that out of context. So yeah.
As long as we don't hear him say, I voted against it just before I voted for it.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know. I think those two would be a good running mates, although I like Cruz and Carly Fiorina, too.
I can't believe we're almost ready for a break.
Are we ready for
a break?
We're just about. Let's take a couple of these calls, okay? So let's go to Joe from Wyandotte. You got some ideas, Joe?
Yeah, hey, gang. Unless if the nominee is Carly Fiorina, which, I like her, but I doubt that would happen. It's good to have her voice in it, I think. The VP candidate is going to surprise people like Sarah Palin was. I think it should be Governor Susana Martinez, female, Latino, conservative. She's not on a lot of people's radar. A lot of people are going to learn a lot about her. I think she would be a very good VP pick.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I actually, I forgot about her, but she did that great speech at the Republican convention where she said that her and her husband woke up one day and realized that they were Republicans.
Yep.
Did you see that speech?
She can counter a lot of the women thing, obviously, and help with Hispanics.
Right. Right. So she's got two big things about her. That'd be great.
Yeah. Good all-round pick. And Southwestern state to help. Although, if it's Cruz, then you got Texas. And
right. Right.
That might be a little touchy or iffy. Close together. But
right. So we have a vote for Cruz Martinez. That goes together beautifully. I like that.
I'm personally supporting Walker Martinez now, but
okay.
I love Ted Cruz, and I'd certainly be happy to work for Ted Cruz. I will not support Marco Rubio because of his immigration sellout. What else is he going to sell out the minute he gets elected?
Fair point.
And, Rand Paul, I'm sorry, I will not support him. He's an isolationist, and I don't care how he tries to dress up the fact, that he's not it. Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah, another fair point.
I didn't support Pat Buchanan either for the same reason, so it's nothing to do with Rand Paul per se.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, Joe. Thanks for reminder to all of us, because she really did make a big splash at the Republican convention, and she's funny, she speaks well, she's a true conservative, and she would help bring in the female vote and the Latino vote, right?
Yeah, we need somebody to counter the war on women thing.
Right, exactly. Okay, thanks, Joe.
We don't like identity politics, but we have to deal with the reality of them.
Oh, exactly. No, I'm with you. We got to hit it because we know who their candidate's going to be. I mean, it would be there's no possible chance that it will be anyone other than Hillary. I mean, unless I'm just missing something, which I don't think I am.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Thanks, Joe. Unless the American voter all of a sudden grows a brain.
That's not going to happen.
It'll be her.
Yeah. Yeah.
As their nominee.
Yeah, as you heard on one of the shows, they were out doing the man on the street thing, and so many people, you know, especially women, but other people too. You know, we've had the first black president, and now it's time for the first woman president. And they would say, well, what has she done? It's just time. Okay.
Let's think about this, too. Okay, if you're black, it's perfectly acceptable for you to have said, I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's black, because he looks like me. If you're a woman, mm-hmm. it's perfectly acceptable to say, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton because it's time for a woman.
Right.
If you're Hispanic, you're Cuban, mm-hmm. you can say, Marco Rubio,
right.
obviously.
Right.
Or the Martinez right. woman, if you're Hispanic. Right. But it's never acceptable for a white male to say, I'm going to vote for Scott Walker because he's a white male.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
You cannot say that. You cannot imply that, even though I just said it on the air.
You did say it.
So take it, people.
You did say it.
Not that I'm going to vote for Scott Walker because I'm a white male and he's a white male, but I should have the freedom to do that without the repercussions of everybody coming at me saying I'm a racist, saying that I'm a misogynist, saying that I hate women, blah, 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 because if they can do it, I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
Where's the fairness in this?
Right.
I know
right.
it's a stupid question,
right.
but it's rhetorical.
Yeah.
But the hypocrisy is right. why I'm so bent out of shape right now pointing this out.
Yeah.
And I'm stating the obvious.
Right.
I'm not making this up. It's reality, and it's really a stupid, sad reality.
Yeah. I forgot that the drift gets crazy.
It gets a little excited.
We're so calm and everything on the American Dream. And then, woo, the drift. I'm usually down in my office working during the drift. And you guys are always like, I hear the screaming and the laughter. It's fun, too. But, good point.
So what were we talking about? My brain just, I
don't know. We've
got
so many calls here. So, yeah, we've drifted into some. Let's drift into a call before we go to break here. Let's take Ken because he's been holding the longest. And then the second Joe, just give us a second. If you can hold on, that'd be great. So, Ken. You want to talk about the election?
And since this was brought up, just for clarification once again,
mm-hmm.
why people like myself could not vote for Mitt Romney. Now, I'm a Christian. I'm a Trinitarian. I believe in the one and only true God, the triune God. And I cannot, and others as well, like me, we cannot vote for anyone who rejects the Trinity. Mormons do not believe in the triune God. We got to remember, the devil working through Joseph Smith is the founder of the Mormon religion. And there's just no way, as a devout Christian, I could ever support in any way or vote in any way for a Mormon.
But what about Karl Marx?
What's that?
What about Karl Marx?
Mormonism, because anybody who believes in the Mormon faith is damned. I can't give a positive light in any way to the Mormon church.
Hey, real quick, Ken, is there a candidate right now that's declared or is obviously going to declare like Jeb Bush? Is there any candidate right now that's electable, you know, the mainstream that people have heard of that you're for?
Well, the one candidate that I like as far as where he stands on issues is Rick Santorum.
But he's not going to run again.
Yes, he is.
He is? Is that for sure?
On different shows that he's running again.
Huh.
Okay. Well, we're right up against a hard break, Ken, so we're going to have to let you go. But thanks for the call. And I get it. But the point is, what I tell all my friends who don't vote when they don't like either candidate, one of the candidates is going to be in the office. So which one do you not want there the most? And I would argue, if you have a Mormon and you have a Marxist, I would not want the Marxist there more than I do not want the Mormon there. Because the Marxist is going to destroy our country. The Mormon just isn't going to agree with our tenets of Christianity completely. So,
well, it's never
I don't know.
It's the never-ending debate.
I mean,
this is addressed almost every
right.
week.
So
it'll never be solved.
It'll never be
conclusively put to an end. Everybody's going to have their own feelings
and
on
I wasn't,
this. And nobody's right or wrong on this.
Oh, I'm right.
No, I cannot say that Ken is wrong. If that's his belief system, then he makes a certain point.
I got the sign. We'll be back. Stick around.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. A big weekend for Republicans with hopes for a run for the White House. But first, Americans targeted. ISIS terrorists claiming responsibility for a suicide car bombing just outside the U.S. consulate in Erbil in northern Iraq. No Americans killed, but an American schoolteacher reportedly injured. And in Afghanistan, ISIS also claiming responsibility for a suicide motorcycle bombing in Jalalabad, killing more than 30, injuring more than 100. Terrorist plot in Australia. Five young men in custody after terror-related arrests. The four 18-year-olds and one 19-year-old suspected of plotting an ISIS terrorist-style attack at a Veterans Day ceremony, including targeting police officers. The arrests taking place in Melbourne, where a joint counterterrorism team serving a total of 7 warrants. Florida Republican Senator and 2016 presidential candidate Marco Rubio delivering the keynote speech at the GOP summit in New Hampshire.
I believe with all my heart that America's greatest days are right around the corner. And more than anything else, that's the reason that propelled me to run, because I believe that if we do certain things, our children will be the freest and most prosperous Americans that have ever lived.
It's the first in the nation Republican Leadership Summit with an all-star GOP lineup of more than 24 featured speakers, including Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, and Mike Huckabee. Senator Rubio pointing out Hillary Clinton's campaign will be a money machine.
Scott Brown tonight let me know that Hillary Clinton's going to raise $2.5 billion, which that's a lot of Chipotle, my friends.
New Hampshire's Republican Party saying the summit should raise about $200,000. Brad James, The Blaze News.
A group of doctors wants Dr. Oz ousted from Columbia University. In a letter to Columbia, the doctors charging Dr. Mehmet Oz with having a lack of integrity by promoting quack treatments in the interest of personal financial gain. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Walk for Israel and the Run for Israel will take place Sunday, May 17th, starting at 8 a.m. with a 5K family fun run. At 12:30 p.m., there's a kosher lunch, no charge, and at 1:30 p.m., the walk starts. This is a community-wide event hosted by Temple Shir Shalom, and it'll take place at 3999 Walnut Lake Road on the corner of Orchard Lake and Walnut Lake Road. There's convenient nearby parking and a shuttle service is available. For more information, call 248-737-8700 or you can visit walkforisrael.org. Clean out your attic, your garage, and your house. It's time to sell your unwanted treasures. The Salem Area Historical Society, or SAHS, is holding a flea market and yard sale Saturday, May 23rd from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This will be a community-wide yard sale featuring flea market and resale items. You can buy a space to sell your items, or you can donate items to SAHS, with all proceeds from their sale going to SAHS General Fund. 10-foot by 10-foot spaces are $8 for members and $13 for non-members. Applications are available on the Salem Area Historical Society's website. And for more information, visit sahshistory.org. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com. and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
You hear those menacing drums? It's okay, you don't have to worry. Until they stop, that is. Stay Ron inviting you to join me as we keep the drums loud and strong. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. We'll mess up your musical hair, babe, with only the finest in wig singeing rock, hip shaking soul music, and industrial strength rhythm and blues. Join me here for the Bone Conduction Music Show.
Join Theron for the rockinest show on the radio. It's the Bone Conduction Music Show. Every Sunday night at 7 p.m. right here on Wham! Talk 1600.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600.
And Blossoms.
Oh, yeah. I'm your fill-in host, Linda Hughes, along with regular co-host Brandon Drake and Derek Stone. We're
glad
filling
to be
in.
Here.
Thank you. We're filling in for Gary Wellings, who has escaped for the weekend. So we're going to take a call here, and then we're going to change, kind of shift in the middle of the show here. But let's take this call from Joe. He's been hanging on for a while. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Linda. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, see, I have to agree with you on how you were saying where a moderator can make or break one of the other candidates' positions.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of last Monday night at the Pittsfield Township Hall, where we had this Proposal 1 debate, which Tyrone moderated. Mm-hmm. And I have to let you know that there were a few posts or less than favorable posts or tweets on against the Washtenaw County Republican Party, mm-hmm. where they felt that Tyrone was got a little out of hand the way he conducted himself in regards to being less than partisan. And and generally, I have always appreciated Tyrone's no holds, no punches held style. But I have to agree that he was a little over the top. But please don't take this as a reflection on me, because I'm just being the messenger, and I just wanted to let you know what was being said out there.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thanks for the call, Joe. Let me just address that a little bit, because I'm certainly had a little conversation about that after the fact. What happened with the debate last week was that the opposition was a no-show. So you go from then not needing a moderator because there's nothing to moderate. So we kind of talked earlier when we found out that the person wasn't showing up, and we decided Terry Bowman, who's a friend of ours, and Tyrone and Adam, who was with Concerned Taxpayers, that we just have these three presenting arguments against Proposal 1 and taking questions from the audience. So that was kind of the disconnect, I think, there, is that a couple people who came in who were either a plant from the other side or who were had already made up their minds that they were for Proposal 1, whichever the case may be, they're the ones who kind of raised a little bit of a stink with why is a moderator presenting such a strong opinion. And that's why, because it wasn't the typical town hall debate, because with a debate, what do you need? You need two sides. You need someone that's pro and someone that's against, and we didn't have that. So,
unless you're schizophrenic, then you could have
a
debate
you
with
could.
Yourself.
Well, they started out, they did the empty chair thing, like the Clint Eastwood thing, but that, after a while, you can't, you can only joke around with that so much before you're just wasting,
Do that for an hour and a half.
You can't do that for that long. So I thought it was good. I know people always panic when people get upset, and believe me, as the owner of this station, I get that a lot. Every single thing that we do, some people love it, some people hate it. What are you going to do? And I'm kind of that mindset, Joe, if you're still listening. I want everybody to be happy. I'm a peacemaking, I don't want there to be discontent among the people. But sometimes you have to just accept the fact that not everybody's going to like you. And when you're talking about spending $2 billion on a crappy proposal, there is no way to say no to that or to say yes to that and not have somebody upset about it. So I know that there were some people there that thought it should have been more of a give and take, but there was no one to do the other side. So there wasn't a need for him to say, and then what do you think? And then what do you think? And if you ask Tyrone to be your speaker, you kind of know, if you listen to the show at all, he's an opinionated person. So if he's going to be presenting any kind of an opinion on something, it's usually going to be strong. And so that's my two cents on that. So let's get out of that. We're all sick of that. I will say quickly that on April 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Northville Township Hall Auditorium in Northville, Senator Patrick Kolbick and some others are going to make their case for this Proposal 1 and why you should vote no, and talk about what the alternatives are, which there are many alternatives. It's a horrible, horrible proposal, and this should be a bipartisan, nonpartisan, really, thing, because everybody's would be horrified by it if they knew all the details that are in it. So it's one of those things where you'll find out the details after you pass it, says Nancy Pelosi. All right, so let's talk about another horrible subject, taxes. We just had tax day this week.
April 15th.
We're going to play a little thing for you here and then come back and talk about this. But you want to set this up?
Yeah, I want to set this up. I discovered it's actually a Canadian sitcom show, and it addresses taxes really well. With April 15th was what, Wednesday? Was that April 15th? Everybody was scrambling to get their taxes in every year. And, you know, some people have had interactions with the IRS, and sometimes you try to call the IRS to clarify a question regarding
you get three different
filling
answers.
Out your if you can get a hold of anybody.
Right.
And so I stumbled across this Canadian sitcom. It's called Corner Gas, and it's about this gas station / diner / convenience store on the prairie in the middle of Saskatchewan. I guess there's no other there's no other businesses like 70 miles in either direction. You know, it's on the prairie, like I said, and there's no laugh track to this, and I find it a very charming, amusing show. To me, it's kind of like a combination of Green Acres and Seinfeld.
Two great shows.
What could
go wrong?
So anyway, this is a little run-in with the tax man, or maybe a tax man at the gas station, and the owner who inherited the business, not inherited, he took it over from his father, who's still alive. So Derek, why don't you go with this? It's a little long. Let's see how long we're going to run with this, but I think it's very indicative of running. Now, again, it's Canadian. So it's not the IRS, but it's the Canadian version of the IRS approaching a business owner. Go ahead, Derek.
Want me to fill it up?
Do you work here?
Be a pretty weird hobby.
So you work here?
I own the place, actually.
Oh, what year did you take over?
Well, I guess it depends. Who are you?
I guess I did come on a little quickly there. My name is Marvin Dre.
Muffin Dre?
Marvin Dre. I work for Canada Customs and Revenue.
Ah, the tax man.
A tax man.
Pardon?
I'm not the tax man. I'm a tax man. Saying the tax man is just a little dehumanizing, thank you very much.
Wow, this has come up before, hasn't it?
Would you like it if people called you the gas man?
I'd love it. That was going to be my name if I ever became a pro wrestler. Want to see what my big finishing move would be?
No.
That's probably the right answer.
I'm here to speak with a Mr. Oscar Leroy. Do you know him?
What's this about?
I can't actually discuss that with anyone but Mr. Leroy.
Well, I'm his son, Brent Leroy.
Ah, is your father coming in today?
Is he in some kind of trouble?
Trouble? What makes you think he's in trouble?
What if I told you he was out of town?
Is he out of town?
What if he was?
Do you know where he is or not?
What's your favorite color?
Excuse me?
I was just seeing how long we could answer questions with questions. Well, it was fun, wasn't it? I better get back to work.
I can appreciate that you don't want to help me. I get that a lot. Sometimes I get outright hostility.
Imagine
just because of my job.
Well, no offense, but I mean, I can't just turn over my father. There's a bond between father and son that's strong and sacred.
Hey, idiot! You left the lid in the dumpster up last night. Crows have scattered garbage all over the place out there, and I'll be damned if I'm going to clean it. It'll be you out there on your hands and knees scraping up crow crap.
I'll tell you whatever you need to know. Dad, this is Muffin Dre, or Marvin Dre. He's one of many tax men.
Good morning, Mr. Leroy. I'm just here to look into some minor discrepancy on your commercial tax exemption.
Discrepancy? What are you talking about? I file my taxes every year. My taxes pay your damn salary, so you can just turn around and go back where you came from.
There, I'm glad that's settled.
It's really not a big deal, Mr. Leroy. Last year you claimed what appears to be an unusually high fuel tax exemption. I just need to examine your record.
I file my taxes every year. I pay your salary.
He's starting to drift on us. So you say you just need to see the sales receipts from last year, right?
That's all.
Dad, any idea where those might be?
My taxes pay for that suit you're wearing, buddy boy.
Yeah, we lost them.
See? This is what I'm talking about. Hostility for no reason.
Why don't you come in person? You ever hear of a telephone? It's a handy invention. I'll show you how it works sometime.
We did call.
You did not. What did you call me on a phone for? My taxes paid for this call. You got something to say, you come here and say it in person. Get in a car. You ever hear of a car? It's a handy invention. I'll show you how it works sometime.
Who is that?
I don't know. Some jackass. You're a lion.
I don't know. His story does kind of reek of the truth.
Oh, sure. There you go. Take his side, all buddy-buddy with the tax man.
A tax man? I'm a tax man.
Oh, okay. How about we say that's enough for right now? You go relax. Go have a piece of pie or something.
Okay. Hostility for no reason.
It almost made it a little long, but yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
It is entertaining.
It almost makes you feel. It almost makes you feel sorry somewhat for the tax man. I mean, a tax man.
Right.
And that guy playing the tax man or a tax man is Kevin MacDonald, and he was on Kids in the Hall, another Canadian very weird
that.
Type Saturday Night Live.
They come up with a few
type
pretty
program.
Cool, popular.
Yeah.
And you said you found out about it by going through the Gin Blossom stuff?
Well, that's one thing I love about
it. It's like one of those Kevin Bacon separation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's one thing I love about YouTube is, you know, a little whimsical thought comes into your head, and I'm like, I like the Gin Blossoms. I want to hear some of their songs. I remember kind of part of one of their songs. So all of a sudden, now I'm researching the Gin Blossoms.
Right.
And they got like four or five big hits that I really like a lot.
Forever, right?
Well, they broke up for a few years, and as I was reading about them, the lead singer and frontman, Robin Wilson, wrote a song, which turned out to be the theme song for a Canadian sitcom called Corner Gas.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Corner Gas, I never heard of it. What's that about?
So,
of course, I got to look that up on YouTube and watch it a little bit, and that's how I discovered this program.
Okay.
Which I think is fantastic.
And did you say this is its sixth season?
Well, it was on for 6 years in Canada, won kinds of like Canadian Emmy-type awards, which made it even more interesting to me. There's no laugh track to it, which it really appeals to me because I hate when they're trying to force you to laugh when something's not funny. And it was on for 6 years, so it's off the air now. And the guy who created it and wrote the sitcom storyline for it and stars in it, his name is Brent Butt, B-U-T-T.
Oh, wow.
And he's a stand-up comedian, so I don't know, kind of Seinfeldish.
Yeah, it is.
Funny.
It really is. I watched a bit of the clip down there. Longer than the one we played, and it is. It's kind of like
you were laughing constantly through this thing. Yeah.
An odd Seinfeld, and I get the Green Acres thing too.
Yeah, it's very rural.
Yeah, right. So Canada has given us a few things, right?
That's one thing I like that they've given us,
right. So when we're talking about, the culture, we had an interesting discussion yesterday because we have somebody new in the building who has never seen an episode of the Brady Bunch. And he was mocked, ridiculed, scorned, and
well, one of our people, like I told you, had not only seen Hogan's Heroes, but never had even heard of it.
Right.
To me, that's almost anti-American to me.
Right.
Young guy, though.
Right. So the question is, were we a better society? I know what my answer is going to be. Were we a better society when there were only three channels?
I think so.
Is it because we were closer together? We had more shared experiences?
Yeah, it united us.
It did. Because you came to work or school or whatever the next day after something, and there was a pretty big chance that all your friends saw the same thing you did last night.
Yeah, and before there were VCRs, you had to be tuned in that night to watch it. Otherwise, you were going to miss it, and that was unacceptable for most people.
You had to have everything ready.
You were
having popcorn, anything. There was no pausing to get your food ready or anything. You had to be completely ready when the show started.
You know, an extreme example of that is back in the 50s when Milton Berle was on the air, and I guess he was so popular that businesses would actually close down. I can't remember what night it was, but I think I'm going to say Thursday night, like at 7 p.m. or 7:30, Uncle Milty was on, and people had to rush home because they could not miss Uncle Milty. I mean, that was the show for a while, and you talk about uniting people. They all, not literally every single person in the country, but those who had televisions at that point in time, they were not going to miss that show.
Wow. Must-see TV, right? Wasn't that the Thursday night phrase there for a long time?
Yeah.
Must-see TV. So how do we get it back?
It's like you're out of breath.
I just sigh because it's like you sound like a grandpa if you long for the days.
In my day.
Right.
In my day, there were only three networks, and this is what we watched, and we liked it. We loved it.
We shut businesses down for Uncle Milty, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll wind up our culture talk. We got a few more things to share with you guys, and then you'll be done with Linda and the Drake for the day, right? We're not going to do, are we doing Ed's show, too?
You've been a stellar fill-in.
Thank you. We could do Ed's show. We could talk Lost in Space. We could go on for another hour. All right, so we'll be right back. You're listening to The Drift on WAM Talk 1600. Stick around.
Hello, Wham! Listeners. I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of Art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of southeast Michigan. Co-founders Tim and Brandon have been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991. Landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. Tim and Brandon have the professional experience you can count on. Call them today at 734-429-5778. See how their business can help your business. Visit A&H Lawn Service online at ahlawncare.com. Better yet, call Tim and Brandon today at 734-429-5778. Find out how they can make your business look a whole lot better. That's A&H Lawn Service, ahlawncare.com.
With this summer's hot weather, make sure your irrigation system is up and running with help from A&H. They'll make sure it's covering your lawn properly and keeping your grass nice and green. Call A&H today at 734-429-5778.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little known, but I need more than myself this time.
That's a catchy tune. You can't say that's not catchy.
Yeah.
That's good. You guys are always doing cool bump music on this show.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay. Now, is he the guy with the long hair that never wears a shirt? Is that him?
I think his hair is shorter now, but yeah, he's had the long hair look at times.
Okay, those guys have been around forever, too.
Right? Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer and frontman, he's, I believe, 52 years old. And I'm reading his memoir right now called Scar Tissue.
Ooh,
and
he should have been.
He should have been dead 20 times over before he reached the age of 20 with all the drug use running around with crazy people, homeless at times. And
wow.
And I'm about maybe a third into the book, and I don't want to learn too much about him before I've read the book because I don't want it. The book is so good.
I don't want to spoil it. Right, right.
But I did read that online the other day that one of the men's fitness magazines out there has him ranked as the most fit rocker in the world.
Wow.
So he went from killing himself big time, shooting up heroin and cocaine and all the stuff you can imagine, not eating and eating garbage and sleeping on the streets and running around with Mexican drug dealers and hitmen. I mean, all kinds of insanity, petty crimes and thieves keep himself going. That he turned it around, and I guess he's largely vegetarian right now, and is incredibly fit, especially for a 50-plus-year-old man.
Yeah, yeah.
And his net worth is, one estimate was around $250 million.
Wow.
So to go from this huge drug abuser to, and he says he wants to be like Jack LaLanne. He wants to be doing incredible feats of strength, if you will, and touring and everything when he's 60, 70 years old.
And didn't he live to like 95 or something, Jack LaLanne?
Yeah.
And still pretty decent shape.
So him and, I forget the guy's last name, Flea, you know, Mike, his first name is Mike, and I forget his.
He's in that band too, right?
Yeah, he's in the band. He's an incredible bass guitar player.
Okay.
And those two were buddies in high school. And that's how they met. And you know,
that's Flea an American dream story.
It really is an American dream type story.
Right.
So anyway, that's my book right now is
You're always reading
Anthony
good
Kiedis' memoir. Yeah. Yes, it's one of those wild and crazy books.
Well, it's always good to hear a story because usually, you know, it's the other way around. They start out with fame and fortune as a young person entering the entertainment business, and the business kills them, turns them into the drug addict.
Sure.
That makes them spend all the money that they earn. They're left homeless. So it's kind of neat to see the story in reverse where he was, you know, crazy into drugs, homeless with the Mexican gangs, and then, you know, he brings himself up out of that.
Yeah, really rises
famous
up.
And you know, doesn't lose all of his money, and has a good story to tell.
Here's another story of how he should have been dead. When him and Flea were in high school, just for kicks, they would go around to these different apartment buildings in L.A., and a lot of the construction there is such as like a, it's like a motel where you have the buildings in a square, and then the pool, the apartment pool, is in the middle. And so they would climb up people's balconies and get as high as they could, sometimes right up on the roof. And they're always looking for a bigger challenge and a higher place to jump off of into the pool. So one time him and Flea got to the top of some building there on the roof, and Flea went first and he jumps and he landed in the pool, and he's describing like this is this postage size pool because they're up so high. So he jumps, Anthony Kiedis, the lead singer guy, he jumps and he missed the pool by about the water by about 10 inches, landed on his feet. Now, you didn't dive head first, landed on his feet and then fell into the water and was instantly paralyzed from like the chest down. And so he's drowning in the water, you know, and they pulled him out and they called an ambulance. He's, of course, all high on different drugs too. And when they get him to the hospital, they're looking at his spine and the x-rays and everything, and all of his discs are compressed like an accordion.
I'm
just
hurting, just
smashed.
Hearing about it.
And he's in traction for weeks, and then he couldn't take it anymore, and he basically escaped from the hospital. He called his girlfriend up, and she came and picked him up, and the nurses are trying to hold him. But you can't leave. Are you insane?
Right.
Another time, he's back in Grand Rapids where he grew up. Part of his childhood, he moved out to L.A. to live with his divorced dad when he was like 12, but he'd spend summers. And anyway, at this point, I think he's like 18, 19 years old, and he needs a drug fix really bad, like heroin and coke, and there's none to be found in this rural town outside of Grand Rapids.
Right.
So some old friends, he meets them at this bar in Grand Rapids, and they're all beer drinkers. So he just starts slugging down beers with them, and he's driving home, falls asleep at the wheel, crashes into a tree, smashes his face up, and they're talking about, like, you know, all this facial reconstruction and just unbelievable.
And this is obviously before Red Hot Chili Peppers, right?
They were just starting to get going a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think somebody's got some gratitude journals to write. I mean,
incredible.
My gosh.
I mean,
insane.
I mean, if I went out right now and probably drank three beers, I'd be hungover for a couple days.
Right.
I can't do anything anymore.
Wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah, I can't exert myself. Man. I can't drink. I can't do anything.
Wow. Wow.
Are we out of time?
I think we are. It's amazing, but it is gone again. I was going to tell people, speaking of TV shows, culture, obviously the zombie series continues at Northridge. This is my proselytizing. Get out there. Northridge tomorrow, tonight at 5 and 7. Tomorrow, 9 and 11. Brad's doing his zombie series, so come on out. Also, Rock and Rev, let's give his new church a plug. He's tonight at 6 o'clock in Milan on Heard Street. And tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on Sunday, go for a rocked out Christian experience. I think you will find that to be fun. And then check out on TV, they've got a new series called, well, two of them. One is the AD series, I think based on a book by Dr. David Jeremiah, who just happens to be my dad's favorite pastor, and The Messengers on the CW. So we'll see you next week on all these shows that we do, and have a great weekend.